At almost every clinic I've ever done, I've had people in who are recovering from other drug addictions, whether it be alcohol, heroin, crack. I mean, I've had people who've been recovering from numerous substances. And again, I think it's from the first clinic I ever did. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure, I don't remember all the people in my first clinic. Again, it's a really long time ago, and there's some who I maintain contact with, so I have clear, vivid memories of them. But I suspect that some of those others, there were one or two recovering alcoholics in that program who, in a sense, were spoon-feeding me their other program. Again, when I went into my first clinic, I didn't know what I was doing. And I was listening to some who were going cold turkey and trying to get their experiences out of them. And again, I was listening to people cutting down too. I didn't have a preconceived notion. But my best guess is in that original program, if not in the first one, definitely by the second one, there were recovering people in there who were sharing concepts with me. It was funny because the first time I went to an AA meeting, it was years after I was doing smoking clinics. I started doing clinics in 1976. I think it was probably 4 years later that I went to an AA meeting. And how it happened to occur, I decided I was going to do a clinic just for people who were recovering from other substances. This is how we were going to promote the program. And I thought, I better have some better idea on how to deal with them if I'm going to, you know, take this approach. And so they had an open AA meeting in the area, and I went to it, and I was amazed as I was sitting there. I was listening to the people as they were talking, and I was listening to the people presenting the program that given day. And I was shocked because I thought, oh, my God, they stole my program. I mean, they're using the terms like one day at a time and just one term after another and one example after another. And these were things that I've been using in my clinics now for years. I'm thinking like, oh, my God, they stole my program. And then I realized really quick, of course they can steal my program. If anything, I took their program. The people in these programs, in my early ones, who were recovering were sharing with me what they were doing that worked and how they were sustaining it. And again, that's what I did from my very earliest clinics. I'd listen to people who were succeeding, and I'd listen to people who were failing and trying to figure out what was the difference. Why did this group seem to make it? Why did this other group not make it? You know, what was the decisive factors that people were doing, attitude-wise or technique-wise? And again, I'm sure that many of the people in those early programs were recovering from other substances. They understood what they had to do to quit smoking. They aimed their other program at it. If it was a 12-step approach, they were, again, without using the terms, they were spoon-feeding me and spoon-feeding the group that was there. Because keep in mind, the people who had not dealt with prior addictions, they were clueless to what they were dealing with. I've always found, and since then, now, I often know who the people who are recovering from other drugs are. They'll tell me about it very early on in the program. They'll tell me when they're registering at times. And I've found it's interesting that when I get people who are recovering from other substances, they often will have a harder time quitting than anybody else. And there's understandable reasons for this. Many of these people use cigarettes as the crutch off the other drug. I've encountered people who went into AA programs or went into treatment programs, non-smokers, never smoked a day in their life, but they had a drinking problem. And they went into an inpatient drinking program or into an AA program, and they took up smoking. It was like so encouraged, especially as we go further back in time. It was like cigarettes were being pushed on people. People who were current smokers that were just smoking more, but people who never smoked. I had a few people come in clinics that had only been smoking a matter of months, and it happened when they were detoxing from their other drug. They were pushed to coffee, they were pushed to cigarettes, and now when I got them into a clinic, they had very short time smoking, but these were really dependent smokers. And one of the problems is you're trying to pull them off the other crutch. It's not that you're just trying to get them off a primary addiction. That's a problem in its own right. But you're also trying to pull them off the crutch from that first substance. The belief is often, you know, it's either I'm going to smoke or I'm going to drink. And every person who has any other past drug dependency has to understand it's not an option. It's either I'm going to smoke or I'm going to do this drug. There's a third option that has always existed, and that's not smoke and not do this other drug. They can't work with this basis. While people who have a who are quitting smoking, who've had prior drug addictions, have a harder time initially quitting, because again, they're pretty insecure, they're pretty scared, they're not sure, are they going to lose this other battle because they're going to quit smoking? While they have that insecurity, And while they have a harder time quitting initially, often they are more successful in general than anybody else in the group. If you're going to look at it statistically, how many people are going to pull off that quit, then people in recovery from other substances have a much better chance of succeeding. Because these people have already, in a sense, shown that they have the ability to stay free of another drug that they're addicted to. They have a base understanding. They have, again, if it was a 12-step program, they know how to take those 12 steps, aim it at their other drug, and they can successfully stay off of it. Well, if they take those same steps and aim it at cigarettes, they're dealing with the same issue. It's treating an addiction like an addiction. See, if you treat a drug addiction like a drug addiction, you will be able to stay in control of it, like a drug addiction. It's when you try treating smoking like a bad habit that you don't really stand much of a prayer. And that's how a lot of people instinctively think about quitting smoking. You're treating quitting smoking, treating it like a bad habit. This is no simple bad habit. Are there habits associated with smoking? Sure there are. But there's an underlying addiction. That underlying addiction caused the habits. And that underlying addiction is what is what's keeping people using. While people who are recovering from other substances will have a harder time quitting initially, those are people who I don't have to convince. I don't have to spend a whole lot of time with these people saying, you know how taking just a little bit of a substance, just a little bit, you know, just a little injection, just a little sip. I don't have to convince a person like this that, well, if you do that, you're going back to using. See, they understand that premise. That's why they're successfully off their other drug. They understand if they take a little bit of a drug, they're going back to using whatever that drug is. Now, again, it's just transferring that prior knowledge, that experience that they have with the other substances. Aim it straight at a cigarette, and they know what they're fighting. And that's the advantage that they have. They understand what they are dealing with. They are dealing with a drug addiction. And they have the tools in place to deal with addiction. So anyone watching this who is recovering from another drug, again, be prepared when you quit smoking. It's going to be scary. You're pulling this crutch off of the other drug. Again, it's what I warn people who come into my clinics. Don't use another drug to get off of cigarettes, because, again, now you're going to create the same problem. The other drug is going to become the crutch for the cigarette. Now when you got to get rid of the other drug, if that drug had an addictive potential to it, you're not just dealing with a primary addiction. You're pulling the crutch out. So be very careful of never substituting another substance, especially one with an addictive potential to it, for cigarettes. But for those people who have dealt with prior addictions and have been able to pull off those quits and have now been able to sustain those quits, understand how you did it. You take, again, whatever program you did, you aimed it at that drug, that got you off. And then you kept the understanding, and you keep reinforcing understanding how you can't administer this drug again without going back. Well, it's the same principle that you aim at cigarettes now. Because if you understand that principle, and if you aim, again, your understanding of the of drug addiction right at nicotine, you're dealing with the problem for what it is. And the way that you stay clear of nicotine once you quit, it's, again, simply making and sticking to a personal commitment to never take another puff.